Welcome to A Journey of Transformation Empowerment. You're listening to Antonio T. Smith, Jr., where ideas ignite, change, and possibilities are endless. Before we dive into today's episode, we have something special for our listeners. Today's podcast is brought to you by a groundbreaking book that's reshaping the conversation around Black economic empowerment. It's Resegregation, Volume 1,
The Power Matrix,
a master plan for Black group economics with wealth creation, authored by visionary Antonio T. Smith, Jr. Antonio isn't just an author. He's a former top-secret combat special operations intelligence sergeant turned millionaire. His life work championed the economic autonomy and wealth creation within Black communities. In this seminal work, dedicated to teachings of Dr. Claude Anderson, Antonio outlines a comprehensive blueprint covering critical sectors like finance, technology, manufacturing, and more. He blends military discipline with acute understanding of systematic disparity. This isn't just a book. It's a movement, a call to action to create lasting wealth and reshaping the economic narrative. Antonio's vision is clear: drive a significant shift toward Black ownership and control. Listeners, if you've ever wondered about innovative strategies for wealth creation or how technological transformation can uplift the Black communities, then this book is for you. Join Antonio Smith, Jr. on the transformative journey. Pick up your copy of the Resegregation Volume 1, The Power Matrix, today, and be a part of the reshaping future. Now, let's dive into the episode and explore the possibilities that await us.
Share that as you want. I don't know.
Well, I'll share it as much as I can. Yeah, definitely. In fact, I'll have you repeat it in about 5 minutes, if you don't mind.
Okay.
When more people come on. Yeah, I'll have you repeat it. Good stuff. Well, so we officially started. First time here, or if you just listen to audio, this is the daily meeting, et cetera, et cetera. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm just saving my voice. I have a extreme amount of stuff to do today, and I just kind of want to save my voice doing that, or my energy for right now, because yesterday I did so much that I was introverted drained by 11 p.m., let me just tell you, 11, and I had to go all the way into 9 o'clock last night, so my energy is on 100% high octane. I am extremely happy, but I don't plan on getting burnt out again by 11 a.m., I just don't. These interviews take a lot out of me, but I'm glad I'm doing them. Conquer the Crisis 4.0. I see that Grace put that in there. If you guys want to just register for that so you can get all that millionaire, billionaire stuff. Yeah, it happens this Saturday, doesn't it?
Yeah,
man.
The 23rd.
Yes, sir.
The 23rd. When does our... think the one business away must start Monday there.
Because
I said
all
right
Monday.
Now. So I accidentally said May 23rd, get the dates. That's why I don't do anything. Grace, I have a task for you. Remind me right after I get ready to say that I have a very important task for you that I've just decided I'm not gonna do. Okay.
Yeah, oh, okay.
It just irritates me, so I'm not gonna do it. But I'm gonna have you do it.
All right.
Yeah, because if I do it, I'm going to be negative, and I don't do stuff like that. So I'm going to have you do it. All right. Just remind me right after this here. I want to tell all of you that the culture that you have created is the most important thing that you're going to do moving forward. You must.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Protect it. You must be willing to die for the culture of your company. The culture. So, you know, I always tell you that the methods should change, but the mission shouldn't, right? The culture should be treated like the mission. The culture shouldn't change. The culture shouldn't change. Now, your culture shouldn't be so, well, actually, I don't even want to tell you nothing about your culture because it's not my place. It's not my place to tell you about your culture. Your culture, your business is your culture. And anybody that you want to fit in that culture, there you go. There's some leadership concerns with that, but, you know, you've got to work on that yourself. But your culture should be treated like the mission. The culture should not change, period. I'll give you an example of a culture changing that somehow is extremely acceptable today and no one cares. But that culture changed, and the culture changed so quickly, I mean, so gradually, excuse me, that you can't change it today. To change the culture back to what it's supposed to be would get you stoned to death. I want to bring up Christianity. If I say anything about gay, marijuana, liberal, abortion, women preaching, drug addiction, the church will go up in an uproar. Second Amendment is just, but if I say anything about love that drug addict, be happy with the pothead in your church, love the gay, tolerance, social justice, you know, love, period, the church is silent. It's not my opinion. That's where we live. That's something that's called changing the culture. And it gradually happens. The church gradually has changed its culture so much to where the curtain did not, you're not going to like what I'm going to say. Sorry. What I'm about to say is extremely flammable. What I'm about to say is extremely flammable. You're not about to like what I'm about to say. Sorry. But what has happened with that culture is many have made it an extension of white supremacy. That's got nothing to do with me. Just pick a year. When did we not hang people on a rope in the name of Jesus? Right? Pick a year. This, while inflammatory, and I'm sure it's offending somebody, but that's got nothing to do with me. I didn't make this stuff up. Somebody has to have the balls to talk about it. While this is certainly emotionally charged, it's the importance of understanding culture. Your culture can gradually change to where it no longer looks like the mission at all. That change didn't happen overnight. That change didn't happen over a generation. That took a while. And if you're not careful with your organization, you'll change your culture, and you don't even know it. What's your culture? I don't know. So let me tell you how I'm hiring, and maybe that can bless you. I read a book a while ago. I forget. Deanna, go inside of my Amazon and see when I bought this book, and I remember reading it the day I bought it. Well, actually, I don't even think you're going to be able to. It's because I bought it in Audible, so you're not even going to be able to see it. Don't worry about it. It's called Google, Knowing When to Cooperate, Knowing When to Compete. It's called something. Knowing When to Cooperate, Knowing When to Compete is the subtitle. When you find it, share it on the screen. It is the greatest, one of the greatest books. Actually, this is the greatest book I read on the psychology of biasness. Right? It's just fantastic. It's just fantastic. And one section in that book, they got on hiring. So the premise of the book is, when does Jonathan know when to cooperate? When does Jonathan know when to compete? And how to make Jonathan as good as both of them as possible? When does Antonio know when to cooperate? And when does Antonio know? That's it, friend or foe. That book right there. That book right there is a most fantastic book. I read it. Oh, see? I think I read it in 2015 or 16. Friend or foe. Right there. Friend or foe, when to cooperate, when to compete, how to succeed at both. Adam Galinsky and Maurice Schweitzer. Okay, you can stop it. I strongly recommend this book. This book said something in there. It said this little section, one chapter, talking about hiring. And it said, typically when we hire or when we have a job, we compete and we don't even know it. For instance, there is a fallacy that says women are mean or not nice in the workplace. And this book goes then to proceed with science that that's not true. Here's what actually happens. What actually happens is men are controlling the hiring. And since we are not hiring unbiasedly, we make 3,000 women compete for one job. Do I have a woman that can relate to this? To where we have 3,000 men applying for 10,000 jobs. And then the woman doesn't get the respect she deserves. Okay, Carol understands. I've just got to be somewhere, because this, again, I ain't making this up. This is in the book. This ain't me talking. Right? And then this is based on science and anyway, a bunch of surveys and stuff. And then when we do something worse, I've got a doctorate. Jerry has a doctorate. Carol has a doctorate. Me and Jerry can go in and say, hey, everybody, call me Mr. G. Hey, everybody, just call me Antonio. Don't worry about all the formalities. Carol can't do that. Carol wants to do that, but Carol can't do that. Because what we've created is automatically not allowing her to do that, because she can't get respect in the office, out the office, in the class. So she must demand respect in order to keep her position. And what happens is when another woman comes in, Carol's stinger come out, because now Carol has to fight for survival. Because Carol knows if she loses that job, she's got to go back to younger, faster, more degreed women in a male-dominated field, and it shouldn't be dominated, but just is, to try to find a job right now. It's almost terrible. It's, remember that inflammatory statement I once told y'all a long time ago? This was inflammatory, Carol. It was. This was inappropriate. I said something extremely inappropriate, but somebody's got to say inappropriate things to wake people the hell up, right? Somebody got to do it. I said it. I said it. I still stand by it. I said America is the country that made the black man have the right to vote before the white woman. I said that. It's still true, though. That's still the way the amendments work. It's inflammatory because I shouldn't say it, right? We're supposed to just keep that little secret dirty, but I still got the right to vote before Susan. And I'm not sleeping with the lawmakers, and I'm not even a whole person. Right? We just gotta receive that. But then I made another inflammatory statement. I'm talking about culture the whole time, y'all. Pay attention to culture. Yeah, I made another inflammatory statement right after that. But somebody got to do it, Carol. Somebody's got to do it. I get away with it for two reasons. One, I don't have nobody paying me. I pay myself. So that kind of helps out. Two, I've mastered communication, the dominant culture. And I know how to say things when I want to that are eloquently said. So it's kind of hard to get pissed off at me. Right? I don't just come up there with my hood voice. And I know how to present a thesis and argue that thesis. You understand? You understand? Okay. That's the whole point of getting educated. And I said this here. So therefore, equally oppressed as the black man is the white woman. And I say it because she's supposed to know better. And if she tries to do anything outside of what's normal, like marry an entrepreneur in the 70s and start a business called Humor Consultants, which I told you, there's no way in hell to do that easy. There's no way. It doesn't make any sense. That ain't the world I live in. Right? And this book says women aren't catty and all that stuff. They're fighting for survival, and we created that culture. And if it needs to change, men need to change it. So that's it. Providing all that evidence. And then it says, so hire this way. Before you go look at your candidate, know who you're going to hire. Build an invisible picture. What qualities do they have? So everybody put talents and stuff. All right, no problem. Now, what psychological traits do they have? This is what's important, because we love all these talents and stuff, right? You know what I'm saying? But talent, you can be the right person in the right business and be wrong for that culture. I know that all too well. You can be the right person in the right business for all the right gifts, all the right talents, and all the right numbers. But you cost too much because nobody want to work with you. You just cost too much. I am most certainly not hiring anybody I think costs too much. I'm not talking about salary. I'm saying that your very presence makes people say, I'd rather work over here. You cost too much. Because all you're going to do is force me to deal with a problem a year from now that's going to cost me a lot more than your salary. Ah, Deanna just got it. Yeah, I'm not just running my mouth. I'm telling you something. Go ahead, Susan.
Antonio, you know what I was going to share about.
You can share that too. You can talk and share. Yeah. Share that too. Go ahead.
Well, what you're saying is so true. In the 70s, when I graduated college, and my first job that I had was working for the dean of students for the university, and I had the other girl that was hired. She got the higher position than what I got. And that was because her husband was the star football player.
That sounds about right.
She didn't have the experience, training, any of that kind of stuff. And she just sat there all day and did her nails and things like that. And I had to carry the whole load, which was good training for me. But then I had to have work study students that came in and worked. And that was good training for me because it was like I had a staff, you know, and I'm 20 something years old. So, but they were all, you know, underprivileged people of color, and you know, they didn't want to do anything. They didn't think they had to do anything. They didn't want to do it. They just wanted the money. So I had to figure out a way to get them to do what they had to do. And you know, we became friends, and so on. So that was my first experience. And then, you know, I worked for the uranium enrichment plant and all that. But then when I moved to Cape Cod and worked for that big pharmaceutical company, these were research scientists from Woods Hole Oceanographic, brilliant people. Well, they saw what I did in my education and what I could do, and they put me in a top position. So when I got there, a lady that had been there forever, and she thought she ran the place, all of a sudden, you know, she felt threatened by me, and she treated me terribly. So, you know, I had that situation to deal with. This is all back in the 70s, and this was the early 80s before I met Phil.
And you know what's worse than, you know, if it's one job y'all applying for in 2020, then that was half a job you was applying for in the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah, so every
I
bit of it.
I experienced a lot of that, and there's, you know, I could go on about that, but, you know, for what, so when Phil and I co-founded Humor Consultants, and I was able to take all those experiences, and we all have all those experiences, and apply them to being an entrepreneur. And, you know, Phil had similar type in his own way of experiences, and we combined them, and that's how we did what we wanted to do. And we didn't want to be, you know, tied down to somebody and a company and doing those things. So what I want to announce, and maybe you've heard this, but I just heard it this morning, Magic Johnson is donating $100 million to minority and women-owned businesses. This will be a loan, and they'll be working with the SBA, because a lot of those people, the first round that went through, were left out.
Oh, yeah, it was designed that way.
So $100 million is going to that. So I suggest you look it up and study it and see if it's something anyone on the call needs or wants to do, or they know someone that has employees that, you know, are counting on them and their small business.
Yep. No doubt. Yeah, thank you very much. All y'all listen to the Magic Johnson loan, Google that. Especially women, especially people of color, look into that. Now, Grace, remind me to bring that back up. There's two things. Remind me to bring up the word minority, all right? And then whatever else I told you the first time. So remind me, don't let me forget. I told you something the first time, you remember what it was?
You have a task for me, but you said to get with you after this.
Yeah, let me get the task out of the way right now. I need you to put up some pictures right above that fireplace, at least one or two, because I'm not going to do it. If I do it, I'm going to cut somebody out. I'm not going to do it. Okay, do y'all understand what I'm talking about? I need you to take a nice little picture of that joint before I have to cancel this deal, because I ain't going. I've been to the office twice in 9 weeks, twice, and both of those was for a summit. And I ain't going there in the middle of no pandemic. And I ain't got to. You know what I'm saying? I'm just not. You know that. I ain't been there twice. And I ain't going there. God dang it. I'm paying bills and I ain't going there. I ain't doing it. So you don't live too far away. You take those pictures. And I will, and then use the card, right? To don't pay for nothing. Just even if you got to get a nail and hammer, just get Reggie or something to get up there 12 foot tall and make that look good. I just need it to look good in the camera. You understand? That's all. Just one luxurious picture.
I'm 6 foot six.
You 12 foot 12.
I'm 6 foot six.
Size 32.
He put an extra foot on there every week.
He's tall. When you was addicted, your addiction was 12 foot 12 too. Yeah, that's why it was hard for you to get off of it. It was as tall as you.
Someday I want a picture with him.
Yeah, oh, that would be awesome. When he stayed next to me, I think he leans his elbow on my shoulder or something like that. It's something disrespectful, whatever he do.
When their toes are in it, her nose is in it.
That's about yeah, this guy here. But he's got this long hair and he keeps his beard tailored, y'all. We gotta call it tailored for now, Grace. He can't. It's tailored. That's how beautiful it is. It's tailored. No, he ain't got nothing in this. Piece of food go in there, he go take a bath. Immediately. Immediately. A whole bath. Now, so here's how I'm hiring. I say all that because I want you to protect your culture. That's the focus today. I'm hiring now. This is just part of it. Not revealing everything. All the questions are tough. All the questions are tough, but they're not tough. They're tough when I'm looking for something. I want to know if you have high level of empathy. I'm only hiring people with an extreme amount of empathy. Now, that's not fair to everyone because some people don't have empathy. Trust me. I'm one of them, right? But now you need a level of emotional intelligence so high that it becomes or mirrors empathy. Get it? And then the third thing I'm looking for, there's more, but these are the three core things that I would love to give away to y'all, is an extremely high sense of self-awareness. I want y'all to process this, because these things are hard to find in one person. A high level of empathy, or high level of emotional intelligence. That's really one thing. That's really one thing. It just depends. If you're someone like me, then you don't have empathy. You have emotional intelligence. You have a bunch of learned behaviors. You're a tiger. You're a lion. But you've learned how to be a koala. You know how hard that is for some people, especially me. It is extremely, you can tell the awareness of someone when something extremely bad happens and they don't go with it. Do you have what it takes to let somebody cuss you out and stay right there and say not a word? Do you have what it takes to see somebody about to crucify you? You see it coming. You know it's about to happen. You know you're about to get double teamed. And you let it happen anyway for the sake of the culture and organization. Instead of you being a problem too. See, because it's easy for me to fix a problem if you didn't cause one too, Law. If you didn't cause one too, now I can go fix that problem. But if you reacted, shit, now I got to fix you. Then I got to turn around and fix the problem. And I got to fix you first because you who I want to keep. So I need to keep you all the way down. It just becomes difficult. It just becomes difficult. And it seems unfair. Now it seems like I'm picking on you. But I'm trying to calm you down so I can go deal over there. It just is one of those things. It just is what it is. You got emotional intelligence or empathy. Those are one thing. It just depends on who you are. Please know, just because you're an empath does not mean you have emotional intelligence. I can assure you, most empaths that I know are bullies. By the time an empath gets 30 years old, an empath is tired of taking people's stuff. Tired of feeling and extremely abusive. It's what it is. Just because you got empathy does not mean you know what to do with it. It does not. So I'm looking, Kara said I used to be, I could dig it. I'm looking for both, right? And then self-awareness. Self-awareness is a superpower. If you got an extremely high sense of self-awareness, You're motivated. You can take correction. You can take a loss or two. Self-awareness is a superpower. So those three things, there are more. But please know, that ain't had nothing to do with education. Listen, y'all, I don't care what y'all have achieved. I don't care anything about what y'all have achieved. I don't give a damn. Achievements ain't nothing but turds. That's it. It's just pretty turds, you know, the kind you Google. That's all it is. Achievements don't mean nothing, but your mama or daddy could afford to send you to school, or you got some Pell Grants, or some, that don't mean nothing. It don't. Your achievement, your master's degree is garbage. It's outdated. I wish you would repeat that about empathy, most intelligent people in the back. Okay, I got you. I got you. I'll repeat that. Dead serious. Like, achievements don't mean nothing. They're garbage. What you have accomplished, that means everything. If all you've accomplished is a degree, you just tell me you test well. You fit well as a slave is all you tell me. That's it. But if you say, like Jerry, I went from here and I went over there to timeshares. Holy crap. First off, if you live in Vegas, you're crazy as hell. That's number one. You don't make no sense. You might as well live in the Bay Area. You're crazy. But I like crazy people. Okay, so there you go. So that works out. Because you went to where it's super hard at. You went to the full fight. Because Vegas right now it's a ghost town. It ain't never coming back the way it is. But it never was nothing anyway. Yeah, zombie lands, but Jay said, Vegas was never anything anyway. Vegas has no middle class. The tourism is the middle class. You're either me and made it, right? Or you robbing somebody, which was the other me. It depends on when you met me. I come from both places, Grace. I come from both places. It just depends. You come from both places. I'd rob you or I'd give you a job. You know, I've done both in my lifetime. I've done both. You understand? I've done both. Just because you have empathy does not mean that you're a good person. It doesn't mean you know what to do with it. It doesn't. It doesn't. So I hired Jerry because of what he's accomplished.
I am determined to be rich.
The middle class is not for me.
I need news that cares about me.
And not news that's going to scare me or make me mad at another people group.
I need news without politics.
And I want news that will point me to the money.
This is the news where it happens.
The moments that change the world.
These are the stories we need.
The info that we care about.
We only give you news
that puts money in your pocket.
And the news
that gives us an advantage.
This is the work that continues.
Who we are today.
And what we can become.
Tomorrow.
That's it.
This is where news without agendas can lead us.
Your wealth matters.
This is why more perspectives
make us stronger
and how our mission can inspire
tomorrow.
This is journalism that helps the world we live in.
This
is
Mexit News.
Wasn't too hard. That had nothing to do with Phil, no offense. Which also means I would fire Jerry, and it has nothing to do with Phil, and I would have no problem with that whatsoever. I wouldn't. And I don't think anybody who knows me thinks that shouldn't even be shocked that I'm saying it out loud. Jerry is extremely accomplished. That means that you put something in Jerry's hands, Jerry's going to multiply it. Does that make sense? Fair enough. Outstanding. That's why Jerry. Go, Jerry, go. Jonathan, I hired for a different reason. Jonathan has the number one attribute that I'm looking for. And I'm not saying Jerry doesn't, but this is just why I hired Jonathan. The number one thing that I'm looking for. There's more, but there's number one thing I'm looking for, Carol. I got it in spades. So whatever it takes attitude. It's the number one quality I'm looking for when I hire people, and you can't fake it. There is no reason on planet Earth why Jonathan should be happy. He's got none. Look, forget all that psychological talk. Forget all that. I ain't got time for it. That's not me. Jonathan got every reason, every single reason to complain. And people will let it happen, but he doesn't. Now, I'm not saying he don't get mad and stuff, but how you gonna outwork a man trying to walk again? Get out of here. You can't. You can't. And if you think you can, you're tripping. You're extremely privileged. Be in his situation and see if you would even show up to a call. If he would show up to life. Anybody that got a whatever it takes attitude can work here. I don't care what your problem is, because I know how to fix the rest. What I cannot put in you is whatever it takes. I could put emotional intelligence in you. I can. But I cannot make you get up in the morning and say, I'm probably going to lose, but losing got me effed up. That's why I hired Jonathan. So how about all y'all unmute your mics and clap for Jonathan? He don't need it, but go ahead and do it anyway. Because real recognize real.
Welcome, Jonathan. You go, boy.
Let me tell y'all something. You couldn't go through half of what this man went through. You shouldn't. If you could have, you would be there, right? You would freaking be Jonathan if you could, right? If you could. So that's four things. You should probably write those down if you want to hire. No, well, you know what? Do you. Again, I don't want to tell you how to run your culture. But I'm telling you here, if you don't have whatever it takes, and I'm not talking about, that's not general. I'm saying if you can't get yourself out of a trash can, you can't work here. It's what it is. Why did I tell you that's wrong? No, it ain't. We going. Or if I tell y'all I want to be a 100 billionaire, that means this company has to be somewhere about $500 billion. Do you understand? That ain't never happened before, especially not with no CEO black man. So we got it twice as hard. I ain't had that. It ain't. It just ain't happening. If Susan was running the company, same thing, still twice as hard. Because they ain't let no woman slide that far up to the top. Y'all know I ain't lying. You know what? That's fine. I'm just running my mouth, Carol. Don't worry about it. You know, that's what they're going to say anyway. It's all good. I'm built for it. Yeah, I know doggone well that if Microsoft, y'all wouldn't even vote a woman president. Making $475,000 a year. So you're going to make a woman 100 billionaire? Get out of here. Nah. Whoever that woman is going to take that. She's going to take that. Because that ain't happening by vote. She's going to take that. And that company is going to stay private as long as possible. I promise you that. I promise you. Win a mentality. Do whatever it takes to get the job done, Jordan. You know, I'm actually glad the Last Dance came out because it made a lot of y'all wake up. Back to what Tempest said. Just because you got empathy don't mean you're a good person. So I'm looking for these four things. There's more, but whatever it takes attitude. That's first and foremost. If I don't see it, you weren't a good fit, as Phil said earlier in the call. High level of empathy. High level of emotional intelligence. If you don't have empathy, but you have a high level of emotional intelligence, I'll let you slide on the empathy because it's just not fair. It's just not fair if I don't. And then the fourth one was, self-awareness, extreme sense of self-awareness, extreme. If I ask you a question, here's one of the hard questions I ask in the interview. So, okay then, Steve, so why are you not rich? Like, how do you even answer that question? It's actually unfair. It might be disrespectful. Especially the way it come out of my mouth. So when I hear something like, that's just my fault. Oh, self-awareness. Let's talk about it. Tell me why. Oh, but you know what they want? All right, then. You're sounding like you're not a good fit anymore. Let me find out why you're saying this, right? But that doesn't mean you're disqualified. This means why you're saying this. Here's a clause that I have. I sent to everybody who's doing an interview, and I want to show you how important this is to me. I'm going to put it in chat. Because here's the deal. Let me see. Let me get somebody that's been picked on their whole life and made it. Let's go with everyone. Fair enough. Let's go with Susan. Come here, Susan. Unmute your mic for me. Law said, I haven't attracted the mentor I need to help me get there. That would have been my answer. I haven't attracted. Okay, I would accept that. That's self-awareness. See, I don't care about the answer. I just care about it. You blame you. Susan.
Yes.
I wrote this down. I want you to comment on it first before I let everyone else comment on it. It says, so when I send out the email or text message, it depends on how they apply it to the job. There's an important note on it. And I make everybody read it. I say, great, your interview is blank time. Expect it to be 30 to 45 minutes, because that's all I need. And read the important note below it. Right there, there's this important note. It says, word for word, with the COVID-19 crisis looming, we have made changes to better serve our potential new employees. For this interview, you do not need to dress professionally. You do not need to have a professional background, as this would be unfair to some of the applicants who cannot provide this. You do not need to have a noise-free background, as some applicants cannot afford to do this due to homeschooling their children or taking care of loved ones. All of this is in place to make sure you have an equal opportunity of employment. Nothing about your background, the quality of your video, the quality of your sound would disqualify you from employment in any way. That's the important note. What are your first thoughts on that?
It just kind of makes me go, and relax. And I think you're going to get an authentic, real person that's comfortable, that's going to be open and not hide things.
Yeah.
Because you understand what's out there with the people that are applying all day long and hearing nothing back. They're applying, and they're getting nothing back, or they don't get hired, they don't get past the first interview. So I think that you're going to reach people that are being left out. And you're also going to reach other, just anybody. And it's going to be a little bit more sorting that you're going to have to do. But you'll find that gem in there.
Yeah. And I'm willing to do the sorting.
For Jonathan, all that aside with him, everyone, you're not seeing his picture. And I worked with him every day. And so did Phil. He does look like Matthew. Now I pronounced his last name wrong. Matthew McConaughey. Is that how you say it? Yeah. He looks like he's got his voice. So, he would come and please, Susan, would you do this or that? And, I was on to him after a while, but I gave in to him most of the time. So he's very charming as well.
Qualities of a good salesperson.
Thank you, Susan.
And Jerry no is doubt. Just, and Jerry is just, you know, rock solid and caring. He's very caring and very honest and a hard worker and very smart and studies a lot and stays on top of things.
You can keep going if you want. Thank you, well, Susan.
I'll tell you the most impressive thing Jerry did. I'm weird, y'all. I look at stuff that people ain't looking for. Jerry, we got into a fantastic conversation, and then towards the end, it was one of those spots to where you was like, okay, well, this can get uncomfortable if I allow it to get uncomfortable. And then Jerry, I just said, well, this is what it is, and I got silent. And Jerry said, and I quote, and it was brilliant, it's the most fantastic way to handle a possible conflict. Well, I'm not against you, I'm with you. That's all I needed to know. You remember that, Jerry?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I meant every word of it.
There you go. There you go. That is how you know the heart or quality of a person. I mean, hey, listen, I ain't got a problem, you ain't got a problem. I can see this may be a problem. Let's roll, right? Like, let's roll. Let's roll. That's how they call that problem prevention. That's self-awareness. I'm always listening. I'm always, always, always listening. When I know that I'm being counted out and doubted and all that stuff, I love it. I revel in it. I can't wait. Like, I love that stuff. I love it. Not because I'm confrontational. It's just because now you just gave me all the power in the world. Like, now I know you're programmed. As long as I know that you're operating in programming, I won. Period. I'm a free thinker. If your thinking is fixed, you already lost. Right? You can control a slave. I didn't make that up. There's a book by George S. Klassen. And there was a free man who is now a slave. And now he's getting ready to he didn't even try to escape. He just complained about being in slavery. Come on, help me, somebody. First off, I tell y'all, I know I wasn't a good slave. If you believe in reincarnation, let me just tell you, you recycle your personality over and over. I know I was not a good slave. I can just tell you. I just know I was. I don't make a good slave today, not tomorrow, not yesterday. I don't like button-up shirts. That shit too tight around my neck. You understand?
Antonio?
Yes, sir.
You recycle your soul and you bring along your personality.
There you go. I'll take that too. I don't like stuff too tight around nothing. Buttons on my shirts be too tight. Push-ups make my biceps too tight. You understand? I just don't like tight stuff, period, law. I be joking with you talking about all spandex at Splash. What it's called? Pride. At Pride. I done splashed out here. But I ain't going to be able to do it. It's too tight. I feel too restricted. I know I ain't going to do it.
Antonio?
Yes, ma'am.
One more thing I had to make sure I said about Jonathan.
Sure.
You know, I was always at the gym for 7 a.m. class, so I was there 1:45. And Jonathan would be finishing up. He already was in the water and swam. And when I saw him, and, you know, he has a driver bringing the wheelchair, the whole thing. And he was there every day, every morning. I don't know what time he got there, as soon as it opened. And, you know, would be out of the wheelchair, you know, strengthening himself every day. He's dedicated. He's worked hard to get to where he is, to have the quality of life that he has. And he works at it still continually every day. And he pushes himself well beyond. And I've seen it in action.
Amen to that. I've got no No rebuttal there. That's for sure. No rebuttal. Let me tell you something. You need to have your own confidence wherever it comes from. For me, my confidence, well, I'm not sure where it comes from, but I can tell you where my confidence comes from when I'm in a room doing some sort of deal or outnumbered by someone's thinking or culture or whatever, right? Age, doesn't matter, right? Whatever you think outnumbered is. We sitting at this table. Table costs $10. Table costs $5,000. Table costs $10,000. Doesn't matter. The table's irrelevant to me. The table's important to them. In most cases, actually, I'm going to just keep it real with you. I have never walked into a room where someone had to work as hard as me to get into that room. I've never met someone. Now, I know people got harder than me. I know some of them grew up with me. So I'm not talking about that. I'm saying to get at this business deal, I had to be homeless, left for dead, molested, raped, arrested, shot at, stabbed, beat up, failed the fifth grade and the sixth grade in a whole bunch, back to back, by the way. Graduate late, drop out of school, go 4 or 5 days at a time without eating, learn how to make money, learn how to hustle, deal with the politics of the streets, all that stuff, just to sit at this table. So every time I'm doing a deal, I know you just had to wake up and go to school. Deal with your problems. But 87% of what was, you had to walk a straight line. I ain't had no line. That's where my stuff come from. Where yours come from. Doesn't matter where it come from. As long as you tap into it. As long as you got the self-awareness to know. Every time something bad happened to me, which bad doesn't even exist, but we'll just use this word, I always say, oh, I've been through worse. It's all good. It's all good. Been through worse. It's all good. Do you have the leadership skills enough to recognize that right after this call, right after the training, you may need to reach out to Satish because of some stuff happening around him? Can you see that you may need to reach out to whoever, or are you so focused on your mission? So this is how we end the call. I had a meeting. Reggie, Deanna, Grace, I'll meet your mics. I told y'all I want something to happen, and I want it to come from y'all mouth so Jerry and Jonathan know I ain't playing. Grace, you lead the way. What I want you three to do for Jerry and Jonathan.
Whenever they need help, if they call us and say, hey, we have someone we're talking to, we want you, I would like you to talk with them and for me again, be there, be available.
Reggie, how serious was I and how extra were you willing to do to help these two brothers?
I've been talking on the phone for a long time as far as sales-wise. So I always just wanted to teach how to do it, how to make a friendship over the phone and how to get to their soul, basically, just by talking to them on the phone. So.
Fair enough. Yeah. Deanna, what I told you to do?
Make myself available. No matter what is going on, whatever, if I'm in the middle of something, that ends and that phone call with them begins. There's no...
Grace? No, go ahead.
You just said make yourself available. No matter what's going on, that stops. Make yourself available.
No matter what's going on. Even if, and I told her, Because I told you, I told you as a group, and then I told all y'all individually, because that's what I do. That sounds like Antonio Smith. And I told you, Deanna, you're going to be doing some stuff I told you to do that's important.
Yeah.
And you better do it.
Yep.
But when they need help, I said what?
Stop that and help them.
Now, Grace, unmute your mic. This time I want you to speak freely. You gave me a good answer, right? Where do I want them to go? What dollar amount?
I know you said six figures.
That's true. How fast?
Is it
Actually, I think
today.
I told that it was 30.
30.
It was 30. It was 30. It was 30 because I got it from Jerry. I told Jerry 90 days. He was like, well, I'm going to do it in 30. Well, shit, if you don't do it in 30, you know, I'm competitive, right? You know, well, then I'm going to make sure you do it in 30. You understand. You know, that's just me. Y'all got to know me enough to know that, yeah, you're not going to outrun me. We running together. You know? I'm going to die for it, too. You just got to know me to know that. Okay? So, yeah, I heard them say it. I didn't leave them. I heard them say it. So what's getting ready to happen? You should. We already got Deanna. You scrubbed all those lists, right? Did we do that?
Yes, they're scrubbed.
All right. Do you remember who I said gets what? They all hot leads. They're warm and hot leads for Jerry and Jonathan. I remember that. Anyway, you got it. You got it. You got it. I'm pretty sure I told you what to do with it and blah 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 a couple of days ago, right? Yeah. All right. So yeah, I'll let you have that. Cool. So they have plenty of information. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You'll see it. It doesn't matter. This is what I want. It's non-negotiable. I want. Now, who, I gave you a plan, didn't I, Grace? Didn't I give you a plan? Didn't I write a mathematical plan down? Well, I gave a mathematical plan. I gave you this first 30 days, this, and then 60 days. That was you. I didn't give it to you, Grace?
No, sir.
I'll send it to her.
Yeah, send that. Send that, because Grace is going to be on the front line more. Send that. Can you read it to me? Can you, is it? I came up with a plan. I did my math.
Yes,
thing.
You did.
My kind of math, Grace. Not your math. You know, I like theoretical math. I don't like that. Now, you in law. Y'all deal in the real world. I'm like Einstein. I want to know. Stuff I should know. You know. Can you read it to me? You got to pull it up?
Yes, sir.
Read it to me.
So in the first 30 days.
Hold on real quick. Hold on. I'm doing this because I want y'all to hear Jerry, Jonathan, and just, you know, everybody has a culture. And we went to work. And y'all didn't even know it, right? But this ain't the first time, you know, we've been doing this. So but luckily for us, we've been doing this. Go ahead.
So you're going to start off each person with 3,000 leads. On the lower end of the conversion, that's 1,050 that will convert. So if you multiply that by the $10 from the $19.99 sales,
sure. You ain't got to say no more. You ain't got to say no more because I've done sales, and I hate sales, by the way, y'all. Don't get it twisted. I'm really good at it. I just hate it. You just hate it. I'm really good at it. I've done sales. Well, I've done sales legally. Let me say that. Since 16. Since 16. I keep forgetting how I grew up. You know what I'm saying? So you got to, because if you really want to count some sales, I was moving packages at 6, but we ain't going to say nothing about that. You know, what was you going to do if you got to eat? You understand? But anyway. Legal sales would be 60 years old, right? 16. And I've been in sales ever since. Music sales to music manager, to freaking sales to cold calls. I became a master at sales when I got cold calls. And I ain't never, and allow me that colloquialism, please. You know, I ain't never, ever had somebody start me off with 3,000 leads. What they say is, go prospect. So you can stop right there. Now, I ain't saying they ain't never had that, but if they did, it ain't common. You understand what I'm saying? It's not common. It ain't common at all. It's not common at all, but, right, different kind of company here. So what I want is I want us to create a new culture, a new sales culture, sales team culture. This is internal between us three, four, five, whatever. I want to fast track all salespeople to six figures. And I want to do that. Listening, Grace? 30 days. I would have said 90, but Jerry said 30. So we're going to roll with Jerry. Source was talking through Jerry. We're going to roll with that. We're going to roll with that. 30 days. You got me? This is important because I want you to say, I like it. I want you to pay attention. I'm doing something here, and I'm doing it publicly for the whole world to hear this recording. You pay attention. That's going to come with a lot of us being available. You understand? And let me tell everybody while I record it, if you're a salesperson and you work with the ATS companies, you are highly favored in an unfair manner. Oh, yeah, I said that. Sure did. Equal opportunity employment. But once you're here, some departments get favor. But don't get mad at me. When your college and university favored the football team because they brought in what? Money for the college. Okay, sales brings in money. Amen. Can we just go ahead and can we just, if you let your alma mater do it, you're going to let me do it too. Them is football players. That's the two-star quarterbacks. You understand? Two-star quarterbacks. So we're going to make sure that we run that. You got me, Grace? I already know Reggie. Reggie been waiting his whole life.
Yeah, I got you.
All right. Well, I already know you got it because you're the best teacher trainer I got. Deanna, me and you, we're going to get off our high horse and be available. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Antonio?
All right, last words on you, Phil.
Well, maybe not the last one. Please remember, a great marketing plan poorly implemented accelerates your demise. So make sure that we've got the infrastructure in place to support that kind of volume.
Oh, that's been in place. We good. We good there. Yeah, we get there. That's probably the most fantastic point of the meeting is what Phil brought up. The most fantastic point is what he just said just now. Fortunately, I did things backwards. I focused on infrastructure first before people. The thing that got me talked about, it's also the thing that got us ready. Well, y'all get ready for that. Hopefully you learned some stuff. Get in there. Chris, you should have stole everything I said.
Yep.
You really should. Yeah, I'm going to say, yeah, because this is how you do it, Carrie. This is how you figure out how to bring people on and pay them well. So, Antonio T. Smith Jr., you can't plan better. You can dominate. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you in the next one.